Welcome to Radio Alchemy, where we fuse the fringe with conventional wisdom. From secret societies to out-of-body experiences, black budget technology to this new world disorder, we want you to join us each week as we look at this thing called life with all the pieces. Hello, loves, and thank you all so much for being up in these wee hours on Inauguration Day, or is it going to be Lockdown DC Day? That poor 10 Mile Square, those poor people in the District of Columbia, look at what they are subject to. The highest amount of gun violence because of gun control, the highest amount of surveillance because of the criminals that hide behind their own iron curtain. All of this stuff going on in the 10 Mile Square of D.C., and it is happening today, darlings. Stay up, watch it, see this this mock lockdown. That's all they're doing, is they're practicing a lockdown in D.C., we have built off our sweat and brow. They have taken it over and turned it into their own little prison camp. And those amazing people of D.C. that are putting up with it. Just amazing stuff. Hello, loves. My name is Evan Ray, Radio Alchemy. So great for you to be here and to talk about the idea of a prison planet. To talk about the war using the information technologies is no other than an amazing researcher, amazing voice, somebody with piercing intellect, piercing analysis. Alex Jones is with us tonight, darlings, for 2 hours to ring in the year of the little czar, the little dictator who just wants to be. And we're just not having it, darlings. No. We're not having it with the sheeple. We're not having it with this iron curtain. Our spirit and our actions will prevail, and you know that. We just got to keep up the fight. And so today, we're just going to be all over the place with the man whose website can be found at www.infowars.com. Infowars.com. That's the place to be where you want to hear his program, Alex Jones, on the internet, all in shortwave radio, Genesis Communications. He's everywhere. But tonight, he's with me on Radio Alchemy, and it's so fantastic to bring Alex Jones back to the airways of KPFK. Mr. Jones, how are you, sir?
I'm great. I just enjoy listening to your voice, and I have to now live up to all the wonderful things you've said about me, but thanks for having me on.
Oh, you just stop. I mean, ever since we've had you on after the second anniversary of 9-1-1, people are like, where is AJ? Where is Alex Jones? And you have one of the mightiest, most gorgeous websites of information out there, and I want everybody to check out Infowars.com, and it's just great to have you here with us. Gosh, technology is so good, and this is the best way to use it. It's a commune with like minds, Alex, and so really fantastic to have you back on.
It's good to be collaborating with you in the fight against the dehumanizers.
Oh, please, bring it on, sir. So look, you know what, I want to open it up, Alex. Tell us what you've been looking at lately. I know that there is so much going on. This is Inauguration Day. Your audience tends to be more of Christians, etc. Did you think a part of your Christian audience voted for Bush? What is going on with the right in America?
Well, you know, I have what you'd call classical liberals, I have conservatives, I have libertarians listening, and maybe 4 or 5 years ago it was mainly conservatives.
Yeah.
But now it's everybody, and I think George Bush is far worse than Bill Clinton, really just because the elite are farther along in their plans.
Yeah.
Whether it was Ronald Reagan or even Jimmy Carter, all of these guys, since Kennedy, since the military-industrial complex killed him 41-plus years ago in Dallas, Texas, our presidents have been total, complete puppets. And I would say that none of my listeners that are, I'd call them informed people that are involved, voted for Bush. I'm sure that some passive listeners voted for him, and they'd say, well, you know, he's the lesser of two evils.
Right.
You know, Kerry's going to get us. But in reality, Kerry won Ohio, clearly. He won New Mexico, but he didn't challenge it, because you can't just rig an election. You have to have rigged candidates as well. And the establishment has been getting away with so much for so long that they're just doing more and more incredible things really out in plain view. In fact, take the Iraq elections that are coming up here in just a few short weeks, or on the 30th.
Yeah.
Christian Science Monitor finally reported last Friday what we'd already read in the foreign press. Out of the 300-plus governors or regional mayors that were put into power a year and a half ago in Iraq, appointed, no one is running against them because the few that announced were shot or bombed or killed.
Yes, yes.
And now about a third of the country, they're not even going to, quote, have elections. But then I was wondering, how are they going to claim that there was an election when no one dares run against the original people that were appointed by the corporate globalists that moved in there?
Yes.
Almost 2 years ago.
Right.
And then I got the spin last Friday from the Christian Science Monitor. They said, well, the cornerstone, the first sentence opens up, to democracy is a secret ballot. And the provisional government and George Bush, they've brought it to a new height of excellence. To secure the election, you will not know who the candidates were until after the election. When people go in to vote, there will be the establishment candidates who were appointed a year and a half ago, and people who secretly signed up to run against them. So again, it's a totally staged election. It isn't even an election. And here is Christian Science Monitor calling it the cornerstone of democracy to not know who you're voting for. So it's the same thing here in America now. They give us two candidates who were cousins, who were members of the same Nazi death cult, Skull and Bones in New Haven, Connecticut, who have almost identical policies. Kerry just wanted more troops in Iraq and to go into Iran, which Bush also wants.
Mm-hmm.
And they give you that false choice. So the left can see the corruption of the right. The right can see the corruption of the left.
Mm-hmm.
But together, the two sides are blind, and the agenda moves forward like treads on the left and right side of a tank running over humanity. And now, 10 different groups of military, including Special Forces, the District of Columbia Security Force, they're all going to be there, the military, running things at the inauguration. And Governor Ridge, in the middle of last week before he went to England to promote a world ID card, he was there, and it's on the Army's own website. We have links to it at InfoWars.com.
Yeah.
He was there, and he met with the military and the police, over 50 agencies, and he said, look, this is the model, what you just said coming into the show, this is the model for the rest of the country, how we're merging the military and the police. The only place you'll read that is on the Army's website. On the national news, it's, oh, the Army's just there to advise and help carry out the ceremony like they've always done. Well, they've always been part of the ceremony, but they've never been out in the streets searching people's bags, aiming machine guns at people. They're going to have the surveillance blimps with ground-penetrating radar in the skies, just like they had in New York when I was there for the RNC.
Mm-hmm.
And then last Friday, a lot happened on Friday, I saw this Scripps Howard News Service report, inauguration performers ordered not to look directly at Bush, and it says, don't worry, they do a little of something for everybody. They've banned crosses anywhere on the parade route to make the so-called liberals happy. Then they've banned anti-war signs or anti-Bush slogans because that might incite violence. Oh, we're for free speech unless it might incite somebody.
Hmm.
And so that's banned. And then in the article it says, and also, this is the fourth paragraph, anti-abortion protesters have been warned to leave their crosses at home. Parade performers will have security escorts to the bathroom, and they've been ordered not to look directly at President Bush or make any sudden movements. So, again, you couldn't look Nero in the eyes. You weren't supposed to look Hitler in the eyes. You couldn't look a Chinese emperor 2,000 years ago in the eyes. This is the hallmark. When they start saying, don't look at me, don't you look at me or I'll arrest you, don't you, we're going to follow you in the bathroom. And again, none of this has anything to do with terrorism. The PNAC documents, Brzezinski's documents, they're all public. They say we need terror attacks to scare the population, to unify the population into a war for aggression. And people ask, what's the new world order? Why do they want world government? Why do they want globalism? Because they can't have a single sovereign nation that isn't under their control, that threatens their monopoly of power. All these new advanced technologies have already been developed by the elites in the past 30 years. They know these other third world countries may start developing some of these that will rival their monopoly of power. They can't have that if they're going to continue their monopoly of control. So they're financing terrorist groups, carrying out terror attacks to scare the world population into submission. And here in the homeland, as they call us now,
mm-hmm.
and they know exactly what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing Hitler did, the same thing Napoleon did, the same thing any of these guys do. They need to seize a powerful industrial nation, set up a police state so the people don't struggle when new horrors and new oppressions are expanded in the future. So America has been captured, has been occupied, to be forged into a battering ram or an engine of world conquest and empire. And we face a lot of horrible things in the future. They're openly talking about invading Iran, openly talking about invading Syria. I have family in the military. They've been told they're going in. And I predict in the next year and a half, I predict that by 666, that is the sixth year, the sixth month, the sixth day, and I say that cryptically, but I would predict that by the middle of next year, we are going to see huge terror attacks in America and in Europe, bigger than 9/11, because that's how they're going to get their draft. That's how they're going to get us to accept the national ID card that they passed a month and a half ago. That's how they're going to get us to accept forced psychological testing and the new Freedom Initiative, another Orwellian term.
Mm-hmm. So let me say, for one thing, Alex, that in no way, I know that your audience is very wide, and I know a lot of people here at KPFK plugged their nose and voted for Kerry. So it was, like you said, we had no choice. And it's really amazing how, with the collusion of the media, that basically they are showing you. I mean, it's all very apparent now. It's all very arrogant and belligerent and like, well, what are you going to do about it? You see what we are doing. You see you have no choice. You see their cousins, skull and bones, and they choose not to comment on it right in front of your face. But what are you going to do about it? Because we just, you know, annihilated Howard Dean, or Ron Paul won't run, or I don't know why there isn't another iconic figure other than like a Schwarzenegger, you know, to step up and do what he needs to do. But you're absolutely right at this drive towards a one world government. What I'm wondering, though, is that as what do you think they are thinking about the populations that just aren't buying it? It's about 50-50, even though I think they're more purple, you know, states rather than red and blue. But 53, you know, million voted for, 49 against. Those 49 million, that no matter what, with increased domestic attacks, etc., do you think the populations that aren't going to scare, that aren't going to come over and get behind the Fuhrer, what do you think will happen with those people?
Well, that's why they're setting up tyranny. All of this classical tyranny with a high-tech overlay all stitched together is being done because they've changed the laws where you don't own your pension funds. That happened 2 years ago. That's set up.
Mm-hmm.
They're changing the laws. They're basically criminalizing everything. The government's own bodies that study future developments say we've got 7 million in the criminal justice system, up from 1.3 million a decade ago. They say it's going to be 30 million in the next decade. So they're going to simply shift into this incrementally, and they know that more and more people are going to wake up. They know more and more people aren't going to go along with them, and that's why they're setting up this police state, and they're going to have their own new middle class. The new middle class isn't going to be computer programmers. It isn't going to be managers on assembly lines. It isn't going to be even doctors or lawyers. It's going to be the security chief at the local prison. It's going to be the head guard. It's going to be people that in their neighborhood are the commanders of the home front citizens corps. In fact, tonight on Paul Azan on CNN, years ago I saw the federal plan with Citizen Corps to draft citizens domestically up to age 49 and make you serve up to 10 hours a week, maybe 20 hours a week, where you'll sit in your home and look at a computer monitor with your own little secret agent code, and you will watch surveillance cameras in another city looking for suspicious behavior. Of course, there's no terrorism, so all crime. And so drafting people in to do this, and then tonight on Paul's on CNN, they're showing it. Citizen Spies was the name of the program, and here they are now unveiling it. Look, the stuff they're doing is so off the charts that I feel like I'm going to wake up in a Twilight Zone or Outer Limits or Matrix movie any second now. I mean, I'm sure you know about the New Freedom Initiative.
Yes. Well, tell the audience more about that.
Well, it started right here in Austin, Texas. Eli Lilly and a consortium of 9 other drug makers, drug pushers,
yeah,
in 1994 funded something called TMAP in Texas, where they would pay school districts to let them come in and selectively psychologically test all the students. And then on top of that, they then went to President Bush, and already 10 states were testing it by 2004, and they went to President Bush and said, we want you to create a new commission. We want to call it the New Freedom Commission. And Bush loves Eli Lilly, who heads this up. Mm-hmm. He got a bill passed with a Homeland Security package 2 years ago,
right,
that gave them liability protection with all their vaccines. Repealed because of public outrage. But the point is that Eli Lilly and others, and since then, the last 8 months, government members of the commission, people who work for the big companies, one prominent individual in Pennsylvania, the British Medical Journal, all these people went public and said, here are the documents. The drug companies brag in them that we've got 15% of children on Ritalin and Prozac and Phetamin and psychotropic serotonin reuptake inhibitor drugs that covered up the fact that Prozac causes a 1,200% increase in suicide, mm-hmm, back in 1983 when they authorized it. But that doesn't matter. Now they've come out with all these new drugs, and they're worried that the patents are running out on their others. And so they say in there, this is the bill. They wrote the bill. Every child in America, homeschooled, private schooled, public schooled, twice a year, you will turn your child over to the government. They will psychologically test them for 8 hours, and the guidelines for whether your child needs to be drugged are written by the drug companies, and they recommend the new drugs that have just been given patent and just been authorized by the FDA. And so they brag about how this will cause them to make upwards of $6 billion extra a year, and their target is, they brag in there, we've got 15% of children on these drugs now. After a decade of this program, our target is half the children. So they openly say it's about money, it's about profits, but that's on the surface. It's really about control.
Right.
The globalists print the money, and they openly say, we're going to force you to put half your children on these drugs. We've already seen hundreds of cases, that we know of, where they make parents put their child on Ritalin or Prozac, or they threaten to take them. Now we have guidelines. They've always been overtly written by the drug companies, but that was a little bit hidden.
Yes.
Now it's going to be completely out in the open, as you said, in a brazen fashion, in our face. And folks, if you think I'm joking, just type New Freedom Initiative, British Medical Journal. New Freedom Initiative, Associated Press. And on this subject, even mid-level members of the establishment said, this is incredible. We've got their documents that have been released. This is about nothing but money, pure and simple. you know, half the children on these drugs? I mean, 500 years ago, 50 years ago, you know, did Prozac bushes grow in the wild and we had to have them or we died? You know, what is this? And with all the health dangers of these coming out and all the facts, all the suppressed information, what are you doing? And even liberal and conservative talk show hosts, even G. Gordon Liddy and Dr. Laura got on the radio and said, call the White House, call the Capitol. In just a month period, they got over 2 million phone calls and letters at the Capitol. This was in the news.
Wow.
And they didn't care. And when it came time for the vote in the Senate, it was 89-7. Some weren't there. 89-7 that voted for it. And in the House, it was a two-thirds majority.
Wow.
So your conservative leaders, your liberal leaders, when they're not busy having their fake WWF wrestling staged fight for you,
exactly.
When they're not busy selling you this fraud, they're actually busy doing the bidding of the globalist. And again, I feel like I've fallen into Brave New World. I feel like I'm living in an episode of Brave New World.
On the lines, darling, Alex Jones. Isn't it fantastic? Look at this. And this is just the confluence of where this so-called left, this so-called right is. Those types have no knowledge or no idea of left and right. Like he says, it's all theater. That's what we have to get past our mind, obliterating all of this freaking Democrat, conservative. Forget about all of those kind of mandates and make a melding pot, a new diagram for our own survival. That's what we need, and that's what's, you know, coming to the forefront here as we talk to our brothers and sisters on all the different political spectrums. That's what it's all about, eh? This is KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara County. On the line, Alex Jones. His website, www.infowars.com. All right, darlings, we're going to be back right after this short break. Radio Alchemy.
Eclipsing conventional wisdom. All alchemists converge at www.radioalchemy.com for streaming audio and more.
Darlings, my goodness, you are up late. Well, I know why. Because this is how we do it in the nighttime. Oh, my goodness, we take the gloves off and we take it too, big brother and big sister. There are a lot of big brothers up there who are doing the wrong thing, but they got some sisters up there, doggone it. You know, these women getting on the wrong pathway. You know, but this is what we do here with folks such as Alex Jones and you, because you are the answer. And speaking about international answer, in Los Angeles, the counter-inaugural demonstration against Bush-hood's second term in office is going to happen at 6 p.m. at the Westwood Federal Building. Okay, that's today, the 20th. The number to call, international answer, which is at answerla.org. is 323-464-1636. 323-464-1636. Go out there and show your counter-inaugural spirit and fighting the mind control and meltdown and stupidity of some of our lost brothers and sisters. And let's reclaim the sanity in the United States. It's not too late. It feels like it sometimes, but it's not. There's always something to be done, and we're doing it constantly here on Pacifica, KPFK, and join Alex out there, you know, talking about truth radio, speaking it the way that it needs to be spoken to, all right? And also, just respecting your intelligence, treating you like adults, telling you, giving you not the pill of knowledge, but just the tonic of awareness, and helping you, letting you know that you aren't alone and that you are the same people on this planet, not the types on AM radio and all of this rant, shout, disinfo that you're hearing out there. You are the sanity. You've always been right. And, my God, hang on to that. Hang on to progressive, liberal, libertarian, whatever it is that's outside the box that they are crafting and shoving you into. Alex, you were hitting upon so many elements when it comes to the lockdown nature of this planet. One thing, in a slight tangent, I want to ask you about. You know how Tommy Thompson, these guys were coming out and talking about how many people they expected to die from influenza, you know? Just all of this constant rant about the hundreds of thousands and, oh, we're going to have to hold back this flu vaccine because, and just scaring people to go and get the shot. So that brings up the nature of vaccines. But also, it really, I've just had this very, just this gnawing in my stomach about the weather patterns this year. I know that there is technology, like you said, over the past 30 years, that can control the weather. And hearing back in Boston, they had, temperatures at their usual freezing, and then the next day it'll be up in the 60s, and melting the slush and causing ice and the manipulation of the weather. It's, for some reason, it brings to my mind that they are trying to make people sick. They're trying to freak out your immune system with the fear, with whatever they put in your food. So a couple of topics around there. What do you think about the idea of weather modification at that, and also the war against the body, because that's what you were talking about with these psychopharms and better living through chemistry, better dying through chemistry, a bunch of things there.
Well, first off, for normal people who love life, who aren't degenerate control freaks, who aren't social Darwinist, who don't think that it's their right to rule over others, who don't enjoy dominating weak people. I mean, normal people like being happy and fun things and creativity. They don't like death and destruction. But throughout history, the aberrant individuals, and I see being truly aberrant, you know, being into violence and murder and death, And these very aberrants then come in and actually try to give us things that are, you know, falsely aberrant to make us feel guilty about ourselves. I mean, they are masters of this. But true aberrant behavior is bombing civilian populations, putting cancer viruses in the vaccines on purpose, writing school curriculum that is designed to dumb people down into a mindless groupthink fashion that we see being sold to us by the conservatives and the liberals. Again, the same system, the same people, different flavors of Kool-Aid that are, you know, filled with societal cyanide. But why are they into fear? Why are they constantly fear-mongering? You know, why are they training us how to be good little slaves? Because they're selling tyranny and control, and so fear is their advertisement. They're always advertising why they should run our lives, why we should give up our freedoms, why we're inadequate without them. Madison Avenue sells a woman that if she doesn't look like a certain image, then she's inadequate, so you better buy this special cream that costs $50, or you better buy these high heel shoes. And then they tell men, don't take care of your family, don't be involved in your community. Real men go grunt and scream at simulated mock combat events, you know, juvenile idiocy that is modern sports. I'm sorry, folks, that's what it is, and I played sports. You know, playing is one thing out at the park, a game of soccer. You know, worshiping it and going and spending all your money on it is another. So they shunt all our real energies and instincts and our true tribal force that would recognize a threat to our families, and they put it into things that don't matter. I mean, they have top sociologists, top psychologists, people with eggheads, 175 IQs, doing this, who are in positions of power and taken very well, you know, care of, and they love this elitist attitude. Well, see, you're all a bunch of idiots, and you know the world's a hard place, and we've got to be more ruthless, or we won't keep our monopoly of control. So this is the line they sell, and this is what I'll say about the tsunami. On PrisonPlanet.com, you go to the archive, you click on yesterday's news, the 17th. In general news, it says the tsunami, more than a natural disaster. And it says tsunami bomb developed as far back as 1944. Agency French Press top-secret wartime experiments were conducted off the New Zealand coast to perfect a tidal wave bomb believed to be potentially as effective as the atom bomb, a report said yesterday, citing declassified files. And the U.S. Navy, along with the Australian government, engaged in these tests that they said were successful. Okay, here's another one. Secretary of Defense Cohen warned of earthquake weapons. DOD news briefing, Secretary of Defense William S. Cohen, Monday, April 28, 1997, 8:45 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Question. This is a news briefing. Let me ask you specifically about last week's scare here in Washington and what we might have learned how to prepare and how to deal with that at B'nai B'rith, a bombing there.
Yeah.
And then he says this. He goes on to say, I'm not really worried about those type of terror attacks as much as I'm worried about other governments, others, quote, who are engaging even in an eco type of terrorism whereby they can alter the climate, set off earthquakes, volcanoes, remotely through the use of electromagnetic waves. Now, let me click underneath that. I have the Space Preservation Act of 2001, and this bill, the Defense Department didn't deny what was in here, written by Kucinich, Dennis Kucinich. They didn't deny this bill. They said, that's classified, and we need our funds. We're trying to block funds for these weapons, which they're developing. And they went in and energetically blocked the bill. In the bill, they mentioned planes with chemtrails. They mentioned tectonic weapons, subatomic particle beams, electromagnetic radiation, plasma, extremely low frequency, or ELF, tectonic weapons, electromagnetic. It goes on and on and on for page after page, listing the Department of Defense's attempts to get more funding for all of this. And you know, the first week it happened, I said, look, folks, I'm somewhat of a history buff. I mean, nobody's an expert on history because there's too much of it, but I have areas I like to look at in my leisure time. I like to read different history books. And from all different, you know, areas and in the scheme of history. And but you don't have to read history books to know that Pompeii blew up and killed a bunch of people. You don't have to read history books to know Krakatoa, you know, 80-something years ago blew up and killed a bunch of people and made the skies red at high noon for 6 months worldwide. We know tsunamis hit. We know they've killed a lot of people in the past. Now with the populations on the seacoast, it's going to be a higher number. But a 9.0, I said, you know, it's probably just a natural occurrence. The sun's going crazy right now. It affects the Earth more than we ever could. But then it came out that Diego Garcia, the big U.S./British military base, the biggest one out there in that area of the world, in the Pacific Rim, got specific tsunami warnings within 2 minutes of it happening and held on to that for over an hour and a half and warned no one. Then they tried to lie about it, but then the different international and U.S. agencies, just the eggheads, the scientists that were studying it, said, yes, we told you and don't lie about it. And then the Navy said, okay, you did tell us. We just screwed up. So, look, when we have a 4.2 in California, or there's an earthquake in New Jersey, you know, a little bitty tremor, or an earthquake down in Peru, it's on the news wires within 10 minutes. It instantly goes out on satellite. That's what these services do, the geological surveys, the different groups, and no one has sensors like the Navy all over the ocean floor of the world that are much better than the little scientific groups that were on this the minute it happened. So they knew, and they didn't tell anybody. If they would have told the media, if they would have warned them, it was broad daylight when the tsunami happened. They had hours to warn people. At Diego Garcia, they evacuated to high ground. They double moored the ships. They pulled back, and not one person died.
You know, one thing I read in the Indian press is that that in Thailand that their meteorologists actually knew about the earthquake, and they knew about it, and they said that they didn't want to warn folks because of tourism. And so somehow they knew about it, too, and they also fired one of their meteorologists who was, you know, warning them and telling them to get a tsunami warning system in, you know. And so I don't know where they got their information, but it was a gross failure on the part of the domestic and international community to not stop that tragedy. What is interesting about this, Alex, and what I was asking you about this technology, like you said, it's been in development for over 30 years. We have HAARP with around, I think, 5 stations internationally now. Maybe it's more at this point. Is the idea that part of what this establishment believes is that there are too many people on the planet. And by being able to manipulate weather and have these acts of God go out and smash people is amazing theater. And that part of the depopulation is trying to knock off the elderly and knock off the frail children through these viruses such as influenza, which passed AIDS in the United States in 2002 as the leading killer, you know, non-cancer killer. And so what do you think about the depopulation aspect of their plans?
Well, on this, we know exactly what's going on. And they even talk about it in the 1944 documents with the tsunami bombs that they were testing, that this is great for them because they have plausible deniability.
Right.
They're able to say, hey, just the weather's going crazy.
Right.
But when you talk about bioweapons, under the name BioShield, Bush has gotten roughly $5 billion a year funding to open 36 more level 4 bioweapons labs. Now, something like smallpox is a Bio 3. Bio 4 is a weaponized smallpox,
mm-hmm.
or a weaponized cholera, or a you know, weaponized
plague. They talk about plague, yeah.
And yeah, but I mean, they even take it and soup it up. And so we have now over 100 prominent microbiologists last week, a professor in Missouri who'd been involved in high-level bioweapons development, was stabbed to death.
Yes.
In Houston, a few months ago, somebody jumps a curb at the university, runs over the guy, backs back over him, and leaves. One guy was tortured to death in Virginia, people dying in airlocks. So the question is, why is somebody, and this is happening in secure facilities, some of them are dying, so it's obviously the government, an element of the government, why are they killing these people off? Well, all of them either are experts on the treatment, or they're experts on identifying who developed it,
right,
where it came from. So, again, we see them getting rid of a trail of people who've worked on projects or people who've worked on parts of projects that could identify this. Also, 3 years ago, I saw a chilling group of articles, mainstream news, going, oh, the U.S. Navy,
mm-hmm.
in a program to be able to deal with deadly influenza. The Spanish flu killed conservatively 40 million people worldwide in 1917-1918. They've gone to a remote area in the Arctic Circle where dead whalers who died from it are buried in permafrost, still frozen, never thawed out, and they've dug up, and one obese man had it live in his lungs, and they're studying it to keep you safe. Then 2.5 years later, we start hearing, you know, top Russian experts, top Homeland Security experts, someone's got the Spanish flu.
Yes.
They're going to be releasing a super bio plague. It could kill 1 billion people. And
yes.
Then with the regular training us to take vaccines and to beg for them, you know, I call it the Christmas toy syndrome. They've caught big toy manufacturers with a friend from the media staging a run on a special Christmas toy. There's one every year. And they get it in one newspaper that women were fighting over the toy and it had run out.
Right.
For their children.
Yeah.
You know, mothers and fathers fighting over it. Then everyone runs rushing who has to have it. And they've done this the last few years. Vaccine shortage, problem, better get it.
Yep.
And the first week this happened, there were a few lines. But then that was just just a few gullible fools. But something happened. This year was the record low in the last decade for people going out and getting the flu shot. People are starting to get it.
Yep. Absolutely. And it's so fantastic. I mean, now it's like they can't give it away. People, you know, it must be something in just the fantastic unconscious 100th monkey, and people are getting it, that there are holistic and other ways besides getting mercury or whatever they have laced into these vaccines.
Well, you know, it's been about over a year since I was on your fine broadcast, and I have to tell you, this is the best news I've got for everybody out there. Sometimes we sound negative because we're chronicling all this horrible stuff, but overall, it is extremely positive that we're able to be on the air and talk about this. But listen, I have done over 1,800 radio interviews in the last 3.5 years since 9/11. I've probably only done 200, 300 before that.
Yeah.
But when I made Road to Tyranny and exposed government involvement, and I'm not tooting my own horn, but I was on the air 2 months before 9/11 saying Bin Laden works for Bush, they're going to attack the World Trade Center. I could just see how they were pre-programming. Here's Bin Laden, he's about to attack you. When he does attack, give up all your rights. And I put about 100 different pieces together, went on my TV show, went on radio, never done this before, never done it since. I said, call the White House. It's in my film, Masters of Terror. I said, call the White House. Call Congress, say, don't use Bin Laden to attack the World Trade Center. That's how many pieces to it. I just knew in my subconscious, from all the evidence, not from some psychic power,
right. Just
from all these pieces, something that I can't describe because it's so intricate, I could just see it.
Yes.
Now, since then, 6-7 years ago, I've been on radio now for 9 years, started out on Access TV 10 years ago.
Yeah.
5-6 years ago. 9 phone lines in the local FM station I was on in Austin. Half the callers would disagree with me.
Right.
About basic stuff.
Right.
And I wasn't a tenth as, quote, radical as I am now, because now I've learned a lot more.
Yeah.
And shifted my paradigm, you know, out of the false right wing. And I was never what you call right wing. People would label me that.
Sure, sure.
But I've totally, you know, shifted past that. I'm learning more in a month now than I learned in the first 5 years. There's an acceleration everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, folks, half the callers disagreed with me. Now I'm on over 60 stations live, about 20 or 30 at night, conservative, Bible Belt stations, but small privately owned ones, liberal stations, progressive stations, you name it, but predominantly conservative stations. And I am on those stations laying out that Bush is a devil worshiper, that he gets on his knees before Lucifer. Whether you believe in Lucifer or not, folks, the point is they do. Skull and Bones, Bohemian Grove, I snuck in there, I saw Vermont Ice. I'm saying all this. I'm saying the government carried out 9/11. I'm laying out the evidence. I'm laying out the NORAD standout. I'm laying out all of this. And maybe once every few weeks, and my phones are wide open. You can call in, folks. We don't even screen the calls. What's your name? Where are you calling from? No one calls in to disagree. It's almost boring sometimes. But listen, it's not just my little program. I have done 1,800 interviews. Last time I counted them up a few months ago. Sometimes 5-6 a day. Most of them, you know, 30 minutes long. The host is screaming at me, some neocon, saying I'm an evil communist. I ought to be arrested. And every caller calls in. Well, let me tell you, I'm a SWAT team commander, and he's right. We are training to arrest people en masse, and I'm sick of it. I'm a fireman. I work at the Denver Post. What he's saying is true. You know, caller after caller after caller after caller, and the host will scream at me and say, what is this, a full moon? Now, that's the minority. But even on shows where they're attacking me, I've been on national British radio for 2 hours while the host is attacking me. And every caller, you know, 40 of them, they all agree. And then one guy calls in and starts going, I'd love to torture you.
Yeah,
I'd love to urinate on you.
Yeah.
And I said to him, and this is on tape of my website, this is like 2 years ago, I said, sir, you're a prison guard, aren't you? And he said, how do you know that? So see, all they've got got is their little gaggle of sadists and sickos and weirdos and people who are very smart who engage in doublethink. And George Orwell was right. Eric Blair was right when he said doublethink isn't for the trolls. It's not for the dumb or the uneducated or the dumbed out. It is for the outer party. It is for the intelligentsia that's not on the inner heights of the system at the top of the pyramid. They know it's a fraud. They know it's a lie, but they owe everything to the system. At least they think. They're insecure. It's like a drug habit. They just don't think they can stop. They're afraid of it. And so they do this mental gymnastics where they make excuses and shuffle it off to the side. And that's the group I found we can't wake up. These trendy liberals, these I'm a good American phony conservatives, they don't want to believe it. You can hand them a BBC or AP article where they had our soldiers in 1985 stand out in the field and they flew over and nerve gassed them and killed them. You know, admitted. You can give them Henry Kissinger's 1973 document ordering five countries to forcibly grab their women and sterilize them or they wouldn't get the IMF or World Bank money. You can give them UN documents out of China where they're ordering to, you know, for the forced abortions and the rest of it. You can give them the documents where all this is. You can give them the New York Post where at Bohemian Grove, George Bush and his buddies headline top gay porn stars service Republican elite, and they'll say, you're of the devil. That's not true. They will deny, deny, deny.
Yes. Absolutely. And deflect, deflect, deflect. You can call any of these people. And like you said, just bring out this amazing evidence, this open source intelligence that's out there. Put it right in front of their faces. And they'll say, oh, well, what do you think? You know, well, what? Do you want Clinton back? What do you want Saddam back in power? And they just deflect. You give them the facts and they duck and jive and deflect. And somehow some of the sheeple out there on both sides of the aisle that go along, like with what Alex was saying, go along with the Democratic dogma or the Republican dogma because it's comfortable there. They've got their tower, they've got their farm, but they've got their peace, and that's all they're really interested in. This is KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara County. On the lines, darling, Alex Jones. Isn't this fantastic? Meeting in the backside, not in the center. We've gone around back to the back of the barn, and this is where it's really happening, darlings, just out of sight. So thanks for staying up late. His website is www.infowars.com and also prisonplanet.com. All right, we'll be back right after the short one, darlings.
Radio Alchemy. Alchemy.
Eclipsing conventional wisdom. Alchemists converge at www.radioalchemy.com for streaming audio and more.
Welcome back, and thank you so much for being here late, for having our CD player decided almost to take a little hiatus, but it's doing all right now. Hey, just want to remind you folks, Bob's coming to town, Bob Dobbs, and we're going to start doing kind of the Catalyst conference series. Oh, it's just deciding to just kind of scoot out here. We're going to start meeting and greeting each other during the daytime, talking about this and so much more coming together. And it's not going to be on a Sunday because it seems that a lot of places that are really great to meet at, that Sundays are hard. So it's going to be Saturday, February 12th. There's a really great Mount Hollywood chapel where we're going to be meeting at. It's going to be Bob Dobbs and Dr. Carolyn Dean. They're going to be talking, Bob's going to be talking about Jack Sarfatti and the new sexuality, new definition of the human body, understanding the five bodies going into the six mystical body. And Dr. Carolyn Dean's going to be talking about death by medicine. When we look at the tsunami tragically has taken close to probably coming up on 175,000 and still counting. But every year, close to 500,000 and above Americans die in the hands of doctors, nurses, over prescriptions with this psychopharm and the degradation of your human body, your temple, that they are taking over and drugging, just trying to get to your spirit, which we won't let them take, all right? And so that is going to be February 12th. Go to the website, radioalchemy.com, sign up for the newsletter, and see you there, because it's going to be on a donation basis. I really worked hard to find a very affordable place so we can have lots of people, lots and lots of people come on a donation basis, because it's important for all of you to come out, meet and greet each other, see the people that are thinking like you, way outside the box, because as Alex was saying, on both sides, the dogma on both sides is very strong. And so to detoxify that, you know, you have to get together and be able to see each other and take that energy out and know that you are not alone. Well, Alex, we have just around 4 minutes left in this first hour. Appreciate you so much hanging out late here tonight. And let's see, when... You know, when we're look, what I think is also very interesting in this controlled environment, in this mind control, is something on the left that I notice is that they talk about those that are dying in the sands being minorities, being, you know, kids out of the ghetto, et cetera, that use the military to get out. But what I've remarked upon a great deal, especially after Ted Koppel's special, is that it isn't minorities that are dying. It is the base of the Republican Party, these folks that believe in the American dream, European-blooded folks, white folks that are dying in the desert sands for this profiteering, bloodletting, ritual violence, which is something that emanates out of Bush blood and the Bush dynasty. What do you hear from the families of soldiers over there?
Well, I mean, I've talked to a lot of people who've come back, Sergeant Massey, Master Sergeant, many others. And most of the people who go over there hate it. They're ordered to shoot children throwing rocks at them.
Yeah.
They bomb whole areas indiscriminately. It's just tearing their hearts out. And so a lot of people go over there believing the propaganda, but most of them don't get to come back now. They're talking about leaving National Guard, not just over there for 2 years, but 4 years.
Yes.
I mean, in Vietnam, you just had to stay 11 months. In World War II, you just had to fly 22 missions, hence Catch-22. And so they've gone to a new level here. But you talk about ritualistic slaughter. It's almost as if the New World Order crowd and the Bush Nazis, and believe me, folks, they are real live Nazis, and they're there in Iraq, not just for oil and weapon sales or as a pretext to widen the war into Iran or Syria. They're there for a political distraction here domestically and to also warp the minds of our military, because those that don't get upset about what's happened, they come back here and think it's all great, and they're becoming our police. So it's also growing a new crop of really sadistic, screwed-up people who will actually enjoy raping and murdering and torturing and killing and engaging in all these Joseph Mengele-type things. But you talk about ritualistic slaughter. First Gulf War, they give them experimental vaccines illegally. You're supposed to have somebody sign a waiver to take those. Even if they're in the military, they still have rights. Depleted uranium. Now they've used three times as much depleted uranium in this go-around. In Iraq, they've used a lot in Afghanistan and Serbia. And not just the poor people over there, but our own troops. New York Daily News tested 15 members of the National Guard's blood. These were the heroes of 9/11. A lot of these guys, firefighters and police, they came back last year, were real sick, losing weight, dying, They tested their blood, and all 15 of the men they tested had upwards of 2 rems of radiation in them and the heavy metal toxicity, and are dying. So our government, just didn't bomb the highway of death or a few desert areas this time with DU. They put it in dozens of other munitions, not just in Abrams tank sabots, but now they're in the Warthogs, they're in the machine guns, they're in the 50 calibers, they're on the tips of rockets, grenades that our troops use. And this stuff is deadly with a 500 million plus year half-life. And this time they bombed almost all the Republican Guard and Iraqi army bases. And guess where our military had our troops move in right after it? So it's almost like the elite has gone insane. These generals are staying in bases that have been bombed with this. They're going to get sick. They're going to die from it. It has reached, that's what I mean, it is just, it is out of control.
You know, and another thing, of course, is that Baghdad is about the size of L.A., and it has its boroughs. It's much more flat and, of course, a lot more undeveloped. But what's interesting, of course, is that you are seeing our military go over there and be able to fight against a well-armed militia in the streets of Baghdad, and that is something that they will face in the United States if things get pressed so much that people start to revolt, and those that know about the Second Amendment and see tyranny and understand what they see in front of their eyes decide to fight. These people are going to have the urban warfare capabilities plus the callousness, you know, like you said, the hardening of the souls that are needed to do lockdown of the United States. But what's interesting, too, in that, Alex, and maybe we'll pick it up in the beginning, is that at the same time as they are hardening folks, they're killing a lot of folks by poisoning them. So if they are going to have a bunch of poisoned and decimating the American military, who are they thinking of an international force that might come over and take care of any kind of quelling of violence in the United States? Would that be a UN force? Would that be a mishmash of China and Russian troops, as China and Russia are doing maneuvers now? Who necessarily, if not our own men, who will it be? That's something we're going to pick up in the second hour of Radio Alchemy, because Alex Jones is in the house, darlings. Really fantastic for him to be hanging out late with us and giving us his incredible analysis and insight. His website is www.infowars.com and also prisonplanet.com. So do you want outside the prison? Well, you're at the right place, darlings. So, you know what? We're going to be back very shortly. Okay. Stay tuned for the second hour of Radio Alchemy on KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles.
Grooving, keep on moving, flying, stop the crying, choosing, why you cruising, music gives the answer to your problem.
Welcome back to the second hour of Radio Alchemy on KPFK, 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara County. Hello, loves. Yes, we are back for the second special hour with a great man to have on our team, on the team of truth, out there being brave on the front lines, doing such amazing gathering and analysis of information. I am talking about Alex Jones. My goodness, we were everywhere in that first hour, and that's the very same way it's going to be, because look at this world we're in. such amazing theater right in front of our eyes. What an amazing time to be alive, isn't it, folks? Oh, my God, an amazing time. You're living what people have been projecting and fearing, you know, since the establishment of the United States, what our forefathers, our lovely little pagan, you know, deists had thought about the church and the control and the tyranny of the state, and all of the things are coming true right here and now in front of your eyes. You are a part of the making of the future, and the fleeting presence, which becomes history immediately. It just makes it so much that each of our actions really have to be well thought. Our mind and our souls have to be in the right place with our thoughts, you know, with the power of thought, and what that does to your health, the power of love, the idea of neurosis, and how our culture is only about creating neurosis so that they can give you the pill to solve your lack, and that's all that it's built upon, this gerbil wheel. And it just amazing, just an amazing time to be alive and be reflexive about the creation of us, because we don't really live our own lives, do we? It's all theater. You were just born. It's like coming in to the middle of a movie, and you're catching up on the plot, and then you're seeing your place in the plot as a pawn. And as you get snippets of people telling you what is right or what is wrong, you certainly find yourself, and you can get out of that plot or modify your relationship to it. And that's kind of like what we try and do here in the night. And what Alex does during the day every day, just an army of folks along with you trying to do the right thing. And so the great thing is that Alex has been out and about and witnessing firsthand some of the lockdown nation that we're in. And part of that, of course, was New York. New York is a nice little test site, along as we are seeing also in D.C. And Alex, I'm wondering if you would tell us about your experience out there in New York.
Well, if people want to see what happened in New York, head to Infowars.com, short for the Information War, and at PrisonPlanet.com, because we're fighting Earth being turned into a prison planet. I have the trailer for the film that won't even be released for about a month, but it's about 4.5 minutes long, and I mean, it's a mini documentary in and of itself, posted on the site. And the next week, I'm going to put about 45 minutes of the film, some of the key areas of the two-hour documentary, because we're nearing completion, on the site for free for people that want to go view it and see what really happened there. And I was just thinking during the break, you brought up the Second Amendment. And I was at the KPFK website, and I saw a picture of Malcolm X, who said, defend yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You have a right when someone is coming to hurt you. I mean, look, the government can say that people who are black or people who are white aren't human beings, and we're going to tie them to a plowshare and make them pull it through the sand. But we have an inherent God-given or innate or organic right to be free creatures and to not be slaves. We have a right to stand up against this. And then I saw a picture of Che Guevara on the KPFK great website. There's Che Guevara, many pictures of him with the upraised AK-47.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Native Americans, would anybody say that it would have been a bad thing if the Native Americans would have been given Gatling guns and Winchesters to defend themselves and their families from slaughter? This is what I'm talking about. When I went to New York, I witnessed police brutally arresting American spectator writers, liberal reporters. I even ran into one of your talk show hosts who had been kidnapped for a couple hours and had all his audio and videotape stolen. I saw him whenever I met with Greg Palast at his place to interview him. This is going on, and I witnessed it. And here were the police aiming machine guns at people and laughing at us in these Darth Vader outfits designed for intimidation. The industry sells them and brags about how it's about projecting power and dominance. And I was just thinking, what they do is they sell conservatives on a lot of good ideas, but attach all this poison to it. And they sell liberals. You know, the whole, quote, liberal agenda has a lot of good stuff in it, but mixed in with it is this poison. Folks, if you're not armed, you're a slave. And the first gun laws in this country were passed against black people being able to have guns, and the white racist population said, yeah, don't let them have guns. Let's pass some laws.
Yep.
Just like marriage license. We never had a marriage license. You don't need a license to go get married if you love a man or woman. But see, again, the state gets involved. And how they pass that? Oh, we can't have these black men marrying white women. Or we can't have these white women marrying Mexicans. So, see, it's the same thing. They test it out on a minority first, then sell it to everybody, and it's like a sacrament. It is a staple of so-called liberals to go, how dare you be for the Second Amendment? Well, look, it's a cliche, but it's true. Adolf Hitler was for gun control. 2,000 years ago in Italy, in Rome, you know, the city on the Seven Hills,
yes,
slaves couldn't own even a short knife.
Mm-hmm.
Serfs in England couldn't own a weapon. And so I'm not obsessed with guns. I'm not, you know, curled up in bed with one, oiling it and kissing it. It is simply a symbol that I am not a slave of this government. And the very same, quote, liberals who loved it when Bill Clinton was militarizing the police, getting rid of posse comitatus, issuing them the federal funding and training. Oh, they feel so safe when a man marches by in a black ski mask and a black helmet with a Heckler and Koch German submachine gun. But, oh, when a carpet cleaner is at my house and sees a gun case with a locked-up rifle, oh, is that legal? Should I call the police on you? This actually happened in Texas a few years ago to me, and I said, what are you talking about? What are you, you know, this, folks, how domesticated are we that we cower when we see a fellow slave with a gun? Oh, did you see that black man with a gun? Yeah, that's how it all began. Well, now it's just, did you see anyone with a gun but the nice men in black uniforms? And so I was in New York in a place where they banned everybody's guns, but there's all these guns aimed at us. They have the huge Soundwave LRAD acoustical devices that burst your eardrums. They have these all over town aimed at people. They had the blimps over us, scanning us, and I would be at Ground Zero. I'd be at Central Park. I would be anywhere in the city. Had nothing to do with security. You know, I look very conservative and with blue eyes and light brown hair with my crew all looking conservative. And the police were running up to me, threatening to arrest me for having my camera on. And I watched them arresting minority reporters. I mean, they were really five times meaner to them. And so I was just there witnessing this and witnessing how, depending on what you looked like, was the level of abuse you got. But I was getting it, too. They were doling it out to everyone. They arrested over 2,000 people. They arrested small children with their families. They arrested tourists from foreign countries. They would just scoop up whole streets with these orange nets and put them in these cages with barbed wire inside the building just to sleep on the concrete. And they were arrogant and hateful. Folks, all of this is a beta test. Having the TSA workers fondle your wife or husband, having the TSA workers, mm-hmm, if you argue with them, arresting you at the airports, mm-hmm, now they've got TSA workers for the inauguration of King George II up there training the police for, quote, behavioral signs, looking at the president, go ahead and arrest him. All of this is happening. And, yes, we're being trained, acclimated, conditioned to be slaves, and it is horrible to see it happening. And folks, they want our guns so bad. Bush was for the assault weapons ban. Arnold Schwarzenegger, he is for the assault weapons ban. He wants your guns. It is so important that we keep the Second Amendment, because look, they're not just taking your Second Amendment now. They're trying to take your First Amendment, mm-hmm, your Fourth Amendment, mm-hmm, your Fifth Amendment, your Tenth Amendment, mm-hmm, all of those They're not perfect, but compared to what we're doing now, you know, we hear this line that, well, the Constitution and Bill of Rights is outdated and bad. Well, what we're going back to is classical tyranny from Babylon or Rome or Egypt or Imperial Japan. So we're actually going away from the crest of the Renaissance that was 1776, you know, the pinnacle of it. We're actually going now in reverse back to Alberto I Love Torture Gonzalez, the new attorney general about to be confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's memo openly says we're going to torture people up until organ failure, and then if they die, it's not our fault. And by the way, the president's above federal law, not just international law. He is the law. So when a government starts saying, we are the law, I am the law, Judge Dredd, I mean, it's over, folks. This is completely out in the open.
It is. Absolutely. It's very interesting to look at the form of government that they are instilling to be able to do what they do. It comes out of, you've had on Stanley Hilton. I had him on here, too. He was at the University of Chicago with Wolfowitz back in the 60s, and his dissertation was how basically to turn the United States into a... in a sense,
dictatorship.
A constitutional dictatorship.
Using terrorism to scare the people into submission. And I asked him, I said, and there's a transcript of this, several of them on my websites. I said, Stanley, why were you so aware? He said, Alex, I was around them.
Yeah.
I was in Strauss's class.
Right, Leo Strauss, right.
And Strauss was a Jewish individual who admired Hitler.
Oh, yes.
I mean, these people are insane.
Yes.
And one has to only look. Did you see that column that Ann Coulter was in 2 weeks ago?
No. What was that?
It was in the New York Daily News, and she was interviewed, and she said, I just think it's so great. These are quotes. I just think it's so great. I think nuking people's fun. And then she was sitting there slurping white wine, wearing these huge diamonds all over. And then she continued. It says all this. She continued, yes, I must tell you. And by the way, this was a conservative writer saying how cool she was. Ooh, she's so vicious. Ooh, she's so cool.
Then
Ann Coulter went on to say just all this horrible stuff about, I'll tell you, our soldiers just aren't being hard enough. They need to kill more civilians. Folks, I'm not joking. Okay? She actually was saying this. They're just not being hard enough on them. I mean, just the height of decadence. Somebody decked in diamonds that makes tens of millions a year, who runs around.
A mouthpiece.
Listen, I interviewed her 2 years ago. People say it was the best interview I ever did. And I had her on for an hour, and I said, Ann Coulter, your book has a chapter in it. It was treason. Your book in it has a chapter about how great the Patriot Act is and how it doesn't affect one single right of an American citizen. And I said, okay, Section 802, any action that endangers human life that's a violation of any federal or state law. And I said, that's everybody. And I said, here's examples of where they're using it on citizens and non-terror related. And she said, oh, whatever, you're just a communist. You're just a LaRusha. You're just a...
Oh.
And I said, ma'am, I'm somebody who wants freedom. And I said, now, why did you write this in your book? And she goes, I haven't read the Patriot Act. And I said, you haven't read the Patriot Act? Just type into Google, Alex Jones interviews Ann Coulter. I've got a page with the interview. I mean, you've got to hear this. The disconnect, the mental illness of the elite up in their ivory towers, They may have a lot of great scientists and experts that know the human mind working for them, but still, they're just so out of control now. They're running so wild right now that we're all in danger because of it.
Well, you know what? I mean, it's also if anything, them saying that there is a mandate. When I saw Bush sit up there at the end of the night when he had won and they had walked out on stage, he actually had, he was in a sense in this kind of stasis. He was standing there as if, well, I have been confirmed. He really felt like a made man after this
election. Because he knew he cheated in 2000, and folks, he cheated again.
Well, you know,
clearly you look at the evidence, and, you know, Michael Moore got up on Schwartz's buddy's show, Jay Leno, and said, oh, we really did lose because we're dumb. Folks, Well, then why didn't Kerry challenge? They have to fix the election and the candidate itself. But go ahead.
But, you know, I just think that I don't blame Bush and the Republicans for what they're doing. They're doing it right in front of our faces. We are smart enough, we are powerful enough, and we're just in this stupid maya of fighting each other on race and sex basis. And the deal is I blame the Democrats. If anything, the story was about the Democrats and finally seeing that they have never been a loyal opposition. They have bent over and sold out, and they are running for their lives, especially now that they have signed that congressional bill that allows the government to work with a fraction of the representatives, meaning that if there is some kind of disaster and it just happens that around 500 of our reps and some Senate members are in a single place and they can all be killed, the government can be run by the ratio, but is a significantly small portion. And so I really think that that our House reps...
Well, they're total fools. I mean, they're signing their death warrants.
They know this, though. I think they know this. I think that they implicitly understand where they are. Look, if you know what you know, Alex, think about what they absolutely are. They are running for their lives and covering their butts as they make their way offshore.
Exactly.
You know?
A lot of them are sociopaths and enjoy the power. But a lot of them...
We know a few of them that actually have a mind, like Ron Paul, all right?
Well, the globalists are slick. I mean,
Well, considering
they may try 10 times with a really beautiful woman coming up to one of these guys when he's married, and then ooh, we've got photos of you.
Yeah.
I mean, this really goes on.
Well, yeah, this basically, it seems like our whole government is run by blackmail. It really is run by blackmail. Because like you said, it's an aphrodisiac. They're addicts. They are absolute power addicts. And it's amazing.
Always pressing on the nerve of power, as O'Brien said to Winston as he tortured him. I mean, you talk about... In 1984, you talk about mind control, the dramas, the sitcoms, and then the nonfiction news articles. Torture is good. Time to talk about torture.
Yeah.
Alan Dershowitz.
Oh, my God.
Pushing it.
Yes.
All of them promoting it. Oh, it's so good.
Well, did you see the premiere of 24? That was... I had to see what they were going to do with that. And this is like Ron Howard... who is, part of Imagine Entertainment, bringing Ron Howard, little Opie, is putting together, a program where Kiefer Sutherland comes in to so-called a sleeper agent, and they were talking about Abu Ghraib, and he comes in with a gun and shoots the guy in the kneecap right off the bat, and it is justified by the rest of the drama, because they had taken the Secretary of Defense, which would have been Rumsfeld, at this point, hostage. But they are upping the ante on that.
They have a show called Threat Matrix.
Yes.
It was on ABC.
Right.
And again, I don't watch much TV. I read their own little blurbs they put, and they've got a show called Spooks in England. And we've got the episode up on the website, the text of it. And they torture a terrorist little girl because he's going to bomb them with a nuke. And then they get the answer because they torture the little girl. And then Ridge goes last week in England on BBC. And first he calls for a world ID card, world standardization, just like they did driver's license standardization at the state level.
Right.
With the feds a month ago, national ID card. The next thing he says is, oh, I think torture's good if it stops a nuke. I mean, as if any of these cases stop a nuke. They use the most ridiculous little situational ethic to twist our minds. Oh, Saddam's evil. He has torture rooms and rape rooms. Well, yeah, our government trained him and put him in there. And now we've moved back into the bases that we paid for in the 80s, and we're back home doing what we've always done. It's total doublethink, but I was sitting in a movie theater. I went with my wife to see a movie, and it was a couple of years ago. It was Open Range.
Yes.
And I went to see that, and I'm sitting there, and they had an ad for Threat Matrix for like 2 minutes before the movie. And there's a guy strapped down in a black high-tech torture chair. And the good hero, the woman, she looks and she goes, I'm sorry I have to do this, but it's your fault. He's got lacerations, burn marks all over him. And she tortures him to death, but she's good and it's his fault she did it. I mean, it's all these shows that they're doing this on, and folks, they're warping our minds. They're trying to legitimize this.
Oh, yes, absolutely. If they just keep saying it over and over again, like Social Security's bust, we got to privatize it, got to privatize it, they're going to keep saying it over and over again. And that is that's what they use as their ticket of mind control. But fortunately, places like Pacifica, places like InfoWars is there to break that pattern recognition and to give you alternatives. And it is working, as you're hearing from Alex Jones being out there in the spectrum and just, you know, shaking it up. That's what it's all about, darlings. So glad you are with us here so late at night. Your dedication to the truth is just absolutely fantastic. You know, we wouldn't be here without you, right? It is just a synergy between us, one big happy family. So we are going to be back in a couple of moments on the line. Alex Jones, his website is www.infowars.com. Loves, be back.
Radio Alchemy.
Eclipsing conventional wisdom. All alchemists converge at www.radioalchemy.com for streaming audio and more.
All right, loves, welcome back. Just a quick shout-out again. Bob Dobbs is going to be in town. Now, this is something that's very amazing. He doesn't come out to Los Angeles very much, but he's going to be out and going to answer all of the amazing questions. We also have Glow on with the boys that week. And so it's going to be just an extravaganza, February 12th. Want you all to come out. It's on a donation basis and just want for us to get together. Found a really inexpensive little chapel at Mount Hollywood Church up there in Los Feliz. So go to the website, radioalchemy.com. Check out the Catalyst Conference Series. It's just going to be like a nice little soiree, nice little meeting group that I hope to inspire us to do. And hopefully we'll just have a very nice showing. A lot of family members coming out to meet and greet Bob, and also Dr. Carolyn Dean, who is going to be talking about your body and how to heal it in relation to the five bodies, all of them that we operate on. And so ones that are definitely constantly under assault are our chemical bodies, as we know through the psychopharms and how they understand our complexity, and also through our energy bodies, electromagnetic energy, and just the amazing reverberations that we have with technology, our extended senses. It allows us right here to be in each other's heads, in a sense. We're in Alex Jones's head. He is in our heads, and that is the amazing technology of your body and how it is extended, and it brings a feedback loop to you. And that's the pattern recognition that we are constantly trying to shatter here late at night. Believe your eyes. Don't get depressed. I mean, you know, you look at what's going on right now, but look what our forefathers and foremothers and ancestors have gone through. We still have an amazing opportunity here. We are able to do this radio show. We are able to commune. And while it is easy to do so, it might get a little bit more difficult, but while it's easy, we need to get together and start creating some solutions, right? And so what Alex was talking about, which is, you know, being depressed or always talking about the negative. I'm just absolutely fascinated by the how freaking bankrupt and degraded and just black holes the human species can be. And I think that's what we are most in awe about, at least myself. I am so in awe of this level of evil. They already have enough money. They already have control, but they keep upping the ante. And, Alex, when we look at that, we look at what they have. They already, it seems like they friggin' already have it all, but yet it keeps pushing and pushing to this prison planet. There are a lot of friends around the world that are helping Bush do what they do. And a couple of them you talked about on a website by linking to an article about the KGB and the Stasi being a part of our home security, our homeland security force. I've always remarked that we aren't necessarily just fascists. We are a hybrid. We have the totalitarian state of our court systems that is being instituted so that you will have absolutely no recourse against the law. Just the huge centralization government. We are looking like Russia in so many ways, besides the fascist element of corporatism that's coming in. But what the hell are they after, Alex?
Well, that's a very important question. Why are the globalists doing all this horrible stuff? Why are they just so completely wicked? I'm in awe that some people aren't conscious of it. Social Darwinism, again, nothing really to do with the theory of evolution by Darwin. The elites of 120, 30 years ago looked at the world and said, evolution, and we're going to take it one step further. We are ruthless. We are cunning. We are willing to do the brutal things. People who are down and out, populations that are poor, they deserve it. We need to abuse them. They have no rights. It is our right as sovereigns, as God emperors, basically, to rule over them because we are in positions of power. That means we're right. Might makes right. And this is the pervading psychology. And then that group goes to the intelligentsia and tells them, well, yes, we have to do some really evil, bad things, Professor, but you're so intelligent. You're one of us. You understand. We can't let these third world countries have access to all these advanced technologies. Why, with the chemical and biological and radiological developments, they'll be able to destroy the planet. We've got to have an absolute world dictatorship to safeguard the human species and to control it. And this is really, when you get to the nitty-gritty, this is how they sell it. But the problem is, they're a bunch of inbred psychopaths, because a normal person would have guilt.
Yes.
Okay? And couldn't function with their psychological economy doing this type of stuff. But the synthesis of these evil families, inbreeding and just getting more and more control. I mean, everybody knows that a lot of rich people are pretty decadent. They've got all the sex, all the money, all the power. They get into weird stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, take what your weirdo local Hollywood person does that isn't a 10th generation psychopath, and just imagine. So the elite really see us like little plants, little bonsai trees that they're trimming and grooming and crushing, and they see themselves as gods. I mean, the Egyptians thought they were gods. You know, so many of the Caesars, keep going back to that, thought they were gods. Hitler thought he was a god. It was all about master planning and master cities and, you know, controlling and social workers and breaking up the families and taking the children because the parents aren't good and then giving different drugs to his military to make him more aggressive. These are control freaks. Take that control freak that you can't stand and then give him unlimited power for 10 generations, and then you'll see what a New World Order globalist is.
Yeah.
And so there could be 10 globalists in a room alone, and they'd all start killing each other. You know, if they killed all of us and got total control over us, and there were just 10 of them left, they would start fighting over the orb. You know, they must have the orb of power. I mean, really, it's that archetypal, power-mad, megalomaniacs that are so bored that remote controlling and you know, setting up a drill where hijackers or CIA agents thinking they're part of a drill and flying it into buildings and then having the New York lottery on the one-year anniversary come up, 9-1-1, having the Chicago Mercantile Exchange close on the one-year anniversary at 911.0000, one out of more than 14 billion. They love having the Madrid bombing, which has now been proven to be the government of Spain, on 3-11, 911 days after 9-11. They love having a lone gunman episode where a secret government group, that was the spinoff of the X-Files, folks,
right,
remote controls a jumbo jet to fly it into the World Trade Center so they can invade Afghanistan and blame it on Arabs. And then I interviewed Dean Hanlon. He showed up at my door, one of the stars of the X-Files, and the lone gunman. He shows up about a month ago at my door. This interview is posted on the website at prisonplanet.tv, and it says, oh, I'm making a documentary, I want to talk to you. And he says, listen, we have the CIA planting stories on us, and you know, they may have planted that episode on us months before 9-11. and he was telling me this is what the writers and Chris Carter, the person that developed it, was saying to him.
Really?
Yeah.
Planting that. Wow. So, you know, this is the amazing thing just about media. I know Jordan Maxwell has always said that within films and with media, they are telling you what they've done. They're telling you what you're doing now, and they're telling you what they are going to do. And so, you know, you see War of the Worlds coming up, you know, Tom Cruise getting and Spielberg teaming up for War of the Worlds. And I think that will be the next big hit in this overall.
Yeah, it's the roll-in for World War IV. You know, the Cold War they're saying was World War III.
Right.
We went to a CFR meeting about a year ago. I've even got video of this. That little CFR meeting, Council on Foreign Relations at UT, and they had Mr. Woolsey and others there, former directors of Central Intelligence.
Right.
And we go in there with our little camera, and this is only about 50 people in a little conference room to hear them have a meeting. And they go, well, we need to work on concentration camps for all Arabs in America. Folks, this is on video, and this UT law professor, Lenio Graglia, he's saying this about camps, and Woolsey's going, we're in World War IV. But it gets worse. I don't watch hardly any TV, so it must be horrible, because I turned on a few months ago C-SPAN at about 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Because I'm a workaholic, and I normally work 16, 17 hours a day.
Yeah.
But I like to, every once in a while, sit down, drink a beer, and turn on C-SPAN, kind of as entertainment. And they have this guy, this Thomas Barnett, this head futurist at the Naval War College.
Yes.
And he's got a PowerPoint presentation in this huge auditorium with, I mean, four-star generals, two-star generals, admirals, JAG officers. I mean, it's a packed house.
Yes.
He's the darling of the Wall Street Journal. And he says, we work for world government. He says, we work for Wall Street. We work to keep the stock up. We go and get the resources. And he goes, let me show you who the enemy is. And Thomas Barnett, folks, type that name in. And he projects this giant world. He goes, we're now in the fourth phase of globalism. And he goes, this is the gap. And he shows this big circle around the entire third world. He has this big map laid out, and if you put a circle, kind of an oblong oval in the middle of it, out towards Latin America, in through Africa, through the Middle East and Asia, and he goes, all these countries are going to have to be invaded. He goes, we're going to take them over. So I tell my producer, I say, I want Thomas Barnett. And that's a week later. It's the fateful day, and the board operator calls to get Thomas Barnett on. He says, that guy, we got a break. I go, where is he? And he goes, that guy's really, really rude. He says, he's not coming on. I go, give me his number. I type it into the phone. They're in the studio. Call him, and he's breathing heavy. And he even wrote a blog on his website admitting all this. By the way, later, I didn't even know about that. And so I go to his site, and then, again, I'm not bashing some individual. I'm giving you a mindset of these people.
Yeah.
But anyways, I call him up, and I go, sir, please come on, he goes, no, they warned me about you. Then he even wrote this in his blog. I went on air right after this, and in his blog he says he was listening to me. So he even admits all this. And so I'm talking to him, and I go, sir, just come on and defend your ideas. I've got former Brigadier General Benton K. Parton, former head of Air Force Weapons Development, to come on to talk about, you know, how this is basically a corporate fascist system. This guy's a conservative, and how you guys have totally sold out, how dangerous your plan is, and how this is the New World Order. I said, please, sir. He starts cussing at me. He goes, no way I'm coming on your show. They warned me about you. I was warned about you. I typed your name in, and you are despicable. What you say about 9/11 and what you say. And I said, sir, you say it's global government. You say you work for the corporations. You say our military belongs to Wall Street. I said, just come on, defend your ideas. He starts cussing some more.
Wow.
And I say to him, I go, let me just tell you something, buddy. You and the New World Order, and I said it icily, you and the New World Order are going to be defeated. Humanity is going to win. I'll never forget this. Humanity is going to win. We're not your slaves.
Mm-hmm.
And he says with the most hateful, like something out of The Exorcist, he's this nice little friendly fellow up on TV.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you just keep on dreaming, you son of a bitch.
Wow.
So humanity's going to win. We're going to defeat your global government. You just keep on dreaming, you son of a bitch.
Wow.
But, I mean, he's on TV admitting it. It's not like it's, you know, it's not like they're out in the open. But they preconditioned liberals and conservatives that
there's never been
a political assassination that wasn't a lone person.
Yes.
The government is only loving and good and cares about you. If it's our government, all others are evil, need to be taken over. You know, no such thing as world government exists as we're going into it in the free trade area of the Americas. The EU started as a trade deal. They didn't tell those poor saps till it was too late.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, what do you think of Barnett saying that to me?
I think that it is absolutely stupendous that you have that transcript up on your site, and I am so glad that he was sweating in his boots and wouldn't go toe-to-toe with you, Alex. And so, you know, screw the little control freak, because he needs a controlled environment to put across his lies, and you would have decimated him. And so, you know,
oh,
bravo.
That was just the
highest compliment paid to you by one of the lowest life forms.
And listen, I then went on air and talked about it, and then again in his own website, he wrote this big article about how he tuned in and heard me say it. And yeah, it's true, he said it, and I mean, it's just.
Yep.
I mean, this guy's saying global government, the end of America, we're going to be conscript Hessians, the equivalent of the German soldiers who were the property of their local lords who were sold to the British. I mean, we're owned by this government. We can't look Bush in the eyes at his coronation in 24 hours. We can't do any of this.
Yeah.
but again, we have hope. People are waking up. But it just shows how they're flaunting it in our face.
Yes, it really is. I mean, what a time, Alex. I mean, for so many years that you've been looking at this, and you've seen all the warning signs. I think there are also out in the media and stuff, there are warning signs. There are all of these technologies for people to learn about themselves, to break down their neurosis, and to come together. And I think this is a part of the reason. I think it's actually good that they sit there and talk about us as useless eaters and as this and that, and to be out and open to it, because we, in a sense, out of all of the amazing information and amazing actions and stuff we can do for our bodies, we just go to McDonald's. We just take the road of convenience to hell. And they're, you know, basically showing us ourselves and themselves at the same time. And one of these times it is going to click for us to understand.
Well, that's it. They've just taken the next level of convenience, because we may hurt ourselves with cheeseburgers and cigarettes, but most of us aren't going to hurt some innocent person to get ahead. Most of us aren't going to knock an old lady on the head.
Right.
I mean, you know, I mean, I've been really poor before,
yes.
And I never thought about going and stealing somebody's car stereo.
Right, exactly.
And so people that serve this new world order are, many of them are afraid deep down inside. They've made the split-second decision to rationalize it, to make excuses, and to join the power. And I think that a lot of the stuff about torture and all this on the news is they know subconsciously that we're aware of what's really happening. I think it's made to scare us. Because I've never seen more people agree with me, but I've never heard more people say, oh, but I'm afraid.
Yeah.
So really, but the bark is bigger than the bite, and it's much more dangerous not to stand up, not to blow the whistle, not to be involved, not to scream bloody murder. And I think really they're trying to bully their way. I think this is a desperation move to try to normalize things, to try to psychologically inoculate us that all of this is normal and all right.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to fail.
Yeah. You know, I think that at this point, especially seeing the tsunami, seeing AIDS, seeing now, I think, shows like CSI, which show you cadavers, all this, you know, faces of death that you can see on the Internet. It's like upping the ante towards desensitizing you to violence so that when it happens to a neighbor, et cetera, you are so numb, you are so traumatized that you freeze up. You don't have a modus to work within this daunting, amazing, huge machinery torture machinery that they've put in. But it's something about how desensitized we are. I think the ante is going to go up, even more to that point where the trauma is such that they really try and just break you psychologically, because there's still fighters out there. Certainly it is the separation.
No, I totally agree with you.
Separation from
this propaganda
from the
is pointed at those of us that are awake. They know we're growing. They know we're winning.
Right.
And I agree. It is meant to further put nails in the coffin of the psyche of people that are, you know, way far gone. And it's meant to terrify and demoralize us. Resistance is futile. Well, let me tell them, resistance is futile for you. Your own life decisions, the system you've built, is destroying the nest you live in. And in your lust to destroy free humanity, you're going to destroy yourselves.
Absolutely. They are already destroyed, and that's the thing, just like what you said, this addiction, these addicts, and I think that's why they spend trillions and trillions of our sweat equity in trying to control us. It's that it's an actual compliment to us, because we are so strong and so immense, and our spirit ever burns bright, that with all of the tragedy, all the slicing and dicing of the human species, that our resilience and our spirit will ever burn bright, and we are going to get it together. On the lines, Alex Jones, darling. His website is www.infowars.com. We are talking about the physicality of the Matrix, but the power is in your minds, and your inspiration will come from your hearts, and we're going to find our way back to sanity, loves. And so we're going to do that right after this break. Winding up this second hour, it goes by way too fast. But our special guest is AJ, Alex Jones. We'll be back after this short break. Radio Alchemy.
Eclipsing conventional wisdom. All alchemists converge at www.radioalchemy.com for streaming audio and more.
Tuned to Pacifica. And you know what? This is your radio station because we are commercial free. We are mind control free. I mean, we do have some neurosis. All of us have something to work on. But I'm telling you, what we are is shaking off those cobwebs. And you are making this possible, darlings, because of your listenership, because of your generous support during our fun drives. And we do have one of those coming up starting in the beginning of February. And so if you want to come down and answer phones, you want to come down and hang out with us, you know, give Tony a call, 818-985-2711, at extension 13, I think it is. We'd love to see you here. It is really a great atmosphere as we keep the electricity on and all the energy flowing through here. With a few of your hard-earned dollars, we will turn it to gold, darling. So help us out in what we're doing here and making sure Pacifica stays healthy, because we're going to, you know, keep kicking it even after if they try to pull the plug. There is no stopping us now. Really great momentum. And on the lines is Alex Jones, someone that is out there in the trenches, really, you know, being our own intelligence agent, helping get out the goods. Amazing story that you had from New York, Alex. Tell us what you think is that our lovely residents of the District of Columbia are going to experience for this inauguration, this ignorant inauguration that's going on.
Well, at every one of these national security events, and the last one we had was back in September of last year for the RNC, they upped the ante. And I've been at several of these. I mean, they are hateful to the people. They shove families around. Children stand there and learn how to be slaves.
Mm-hmm.
And they've told us they'll take some freedoms from the left, and the right likes that. Oh, you can't have anti-war signs anywhere on the parade route, mm-hmm. or you'll be arrested because mm-hmm. that might be a sign of violence. Or, oh, you can't have crosses. That might cause a problem. And the so-called left goes, oh, great, take their free speech.
Exactly.
So then everybody loses their free speech.
That's right.
And, again, the Scripps-Hour News Service, the Associated Press, don't look the president in the eyes. He's your emperor. I'm not kidding. Mainstream news, folks, he's too powerful. Just leave him alone. It's threatening to look upon him. And I think we're just going to see a continuation of this. And, again, Governor Ridge said, he said that this is a huge test. This is an example for what we're going to do in the rest of the country. Last Wednesday, before he got on a plane and went to England to say World ID card is good and torture is good, before he left, he met with the Army and said, you're going to be running things, and this is an example for the rest of the country how we're going to keep the people safe. It has nothing to do with that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, just the vastness and the vast neglect of the domestic security of the United States since September 11th and how they've just exported and completely consolidated the capital and the treasury into a killing machine and lining their pockets. Of course, on both sides of the aisle, one thing I think you'd be happy to hear, Alex, is that I, on a couple of shows, we did do a show on progressives and guns, and you would be surprised that a lot of progressives called in talking about the history of guns and it's still that it's very relevant. We did have some pacifists call in and say it would just be great to have millions of people around Washington, D.C. and just to kind of squat and not do anything. And the thing that came up in my mind with that was Tiananmen Square. There was a very amazing peaceful demonstration, and we saw how that was put down.
Well, that's the point. I was in New York, and peaceful people would sit down on the street, and police would ride horses into them,
yes.
beat them, run mopeds into them. And then one guy, I've got this in the film, gets up and punches the cop who just ran over his girlfriend with the moped mm-hmm. and knocks him off. And local news, New York One, reported that the cops ran over him. That's why he did it. But on national news, look at this evil person.
Exactly.
He's killing the officer for no reason.
Exactly.
But this is what they were doing. They were there, literally, but you didn't have to be blocking the street. They would just randomly start arresting people in other cases. And then it was the same thing in Tiananmen Square.
Mm-hmm.
You've got people out blocking the square, out demonstrating, the government comes and beats you and kills you.
Just runs right over, just storms you. They just storm you. Just amazing. I mean, we saw that way back in the World Trade, with the World Trade talks up in Seattle. Just like you said, slowly but surely perfecting.
I agree, but in that case, the feds even hire provocateurs.
Yeah, exactly.
I have the police, I have the video, I have the local news articles, all in my film, The Takeover, where it is admitted that whole thing was set up and staged. Then they used, look, the threat of this all over the country in police departments, showing them select clips of video to get them to militarize against the people. And then the Red Sox go to the World Series, and a 21-year-old young lady with a 3.8 grade point average, about to graduate to be a journalist, she walks out of a bar, and a cop walks up to her at 10 feet away, shoots her with a rubber bullet, and it pushes her eye back into her brain, and she dies.
Yes.
They just can't wait. They just can't wait to start shooting us. And I tell you, these non-lethal weapons,
yes.
I've even seen industry documents,
they
are training aids to train the public, the media, and the police to get used to the image of police firing in line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they were a British battalion of redcoats marching in a line, firing at innocent crowds. And I have a friend who's in the Marine Corps. This is a couple of years ago. He gave me footage but made me promise not to show it because it would have been obvious he was there on a certain detail getting the video, but we were allowed to put out a few stills of it. That was all. And I have some of the same footage in Police Day 2000, but in this film, the incredible thing is at San Antonio, they did a drill at an old Army base with the Marine Corps at an Army base with role players playing the parts of American farmers that didn't want to lose their property. Folks, the government, I've been to the camps, I've been to the training, they really are training to mass arrest you and put you in camps. Now, I sounded crazy years ago when I went out and got this video, but now, it's all out in the open and admitted, but it's for your own good. They've said that if there's a red alert, we lose all our freedoms. You know, there's all these plans being put into place. This whole shadow government takeover.
Yeah, you know, part of that plan was that they were going to go to some of the icons of the entertainment industry, those kind of individuals that if they saw something going wrong, that they could possibly get on the radio or TV, and because of their image, et cetera, people might listen to them, and said that they would go to these individuals first and tell them, for your own security, et cetera, or we're going to take you to this secure facility and take care of you, et cetera, and, you know, gather up their entourage and take them somewhere, lock them up and throw away the key. That there is, you know, for the Martin Sheens, for the Tim Robbins, for those that actually, you know, have a mind and a heart that are part of the grand fight, that those will be the first of Hollywood that will go into these prison camps.
Exactly. And let me tell you something in the closing, because I know we're running out of time. Folks, you know, for all of my sputtering, believe me and listen to me closely. I've studied this. I live my life every waking hour fighting this global system. And let me tell you something. They got big plans for Arnold Schwarzenegger. This guy is an absolute total monster to his core.
Mm-hmm.
He is their Nietzsche's beast man. And we have ArnoldExposed.com that I've now started, and we're exposing it. And let me tell you something. Long before the Kennedy biographer just came out a week ago and said, yeah, I'm writing an authorized book and Arnold is running for president and there is a plan, and long before George Bush Sr. gave him the presidential, you know, award a few months ago, they're now saying it's going to happen. But I could see the writing on the wall, and they want him for that war king archetypal image that he portrays, and he is so dangerous, and people really and he's a puppet, obviously.
Yeah.
But the point is,
but he believes his puppetry. He
exactly. But the phase, he's a figurehead. But he is a standard. He is a mark that they bring out at a very dangerous time, and they want him to be our leader. This is not a joke. During some of the most horrible times to come.
Well, you know what? The only thing about that which is very interesting is Giuliani. Giuliani Who is related to Midge Dechter, who is one of the biggest Israeli Zionists in the United States, part of that intelligentsia. Her son-in-law is Elliot Abrams, head of within the Department of Defense's Middle East desk. Those kind of connections to Giuliani is what's going to make...
Giuliani is a total Mossad agent, horrible, very high in the polls.
He is very much also going to... It's going to be interesting within this Republican fight, these two sides. Like you said, these oligarchs fight amongst themselves. And I think the Jewish and the Austrian kind of thing is going to come to a head when it comes to the Republicans.
It's bizarre. History continues to repeat itself.
Yes, it absolutely does.
I mean, look, there is pell-mell continual promotion and facelifts going on for Schwarzenegger.
Yes.
And
yes, he's a fake-inator.
Oh, listen, I thought I knew everything about him because I'm a media person. I study this stuff. What I've learned, what I've found out, it is, I mean, number one, it's admitted, he is such a bully.
Yes.
He loves being mean to people. He loves power. He's
vindictive.
Just, well, listen to this. He told U.S. News and World Report in 1990, you know, they say all this dictator stuff was him in the 80s and 70s. Oh, I dream of walking the earth as a giant, ruling everyone. You know, oh, I admire Hitler. They say all of that was earlier. In 1990, when he was 44 years old, he told U.S. News and World Report, and I'm paraphrasing, it's on ArnoldExposed.com, he said, I look down on little people, I like to rule them, 95% of people need to be told what to do and how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it comes to authority, I'm all for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it comes to power and privilege, I'm all for it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've got someone who's saying they want to be a dictator,
yes,
saying they want to rule us,
yes,
and if anybody else had a tenth of this much slime on them, they couldn't be a toilet attendant. Okay, they'd be run out of town. But I'm telling you, this guy is a Grove member. This guy's tied into Skull and Bones. And he is the apple of their eye.
You are absolutely right. And I know Maria Shriver came out and said, oh, Arnold, in 2008, no, I don't think so. Not
she said, I think they should change the law, but not for him.
Exactly. Oh, he isn't going to happen. Well, if that doesn't show, once again, right in front of our faces, the Kennedy family marrying into fascist boy who can't speak English, possibly, you know, to get in line for the Republican throne of just... I mean, hello.
Well,
it
it's
is
even worse than that.
It's right in front of our eyes. Yes.
One of my friends made the joke that the globalists, you know, killed the Kennedys and then they take their women. And I must say, Arnold was involved. My point is, you know, he was running around in the Austrian forest in 1963, but the Bushes clearly represent, and Bush Sr. was in Dallas that day. He was a high-level CIA section chief. We know he was involved. We know he was there. I've talked to LBJ's widow before she died. I've talked to Barr McClellan. His lawyer, Bush Sr., was involved.
Absolutely.
And so, classic that they're pushing and trying to sell Arnold when, so literally, the globalists, kill good people and then take their women.
All right, darlings, on the lines, Alex Jones, his website, www.infowars.com, and also prisonplanet.com. He has so much information, great tapes, videos. Support his work, support Pacifica. Hopefully we'll see you February 12th for Bob Dobbs. Alex, thank you, sir. I want you to come back a number of times. I know you're really busy. Appreciate you taking the time out to hang out with us here, and thank you so much for your work and dedication to truth.
Well, I want to thank you for letting me do Stream of Consciousness. I've had about 4 hours sleep, and I've been babbling a bit. But, you know, all of it's important, and you're right. We have power. We're special. We can affect change. It's time to stand up against these con artists. It's time to stand up against these arrogant people. I mean, why am I so angry? Because I'm tired of watching them get away with scamming us and ripping us off. I'm tired of these carnival hucksters,
yes,
these carnies getting away with it. And we are going to defeat them if humanity will stand up and say no. And I see that happening. And we do have interesting times ahead, but that's a double-edged sword. And mm-hmm. God bless you, and thanks for having me on.
And you, Alex. All right, darlings. Until next week.
You've been listening to Radio Alchemy with your host, Evan Ray. Be sure to visit our website, www.radioalchemy.com. And join us next week for more mind-blowing revelations from the Fringe.